excited to do this because, okay, first of all, let's just do a round robin here. Do either of you believe in reincarnation?
I don't believe in it, but I don't, like, it's like anything else. It's like, I don't know.
So you're agnostic, like, towards the concept of
Yeah, I mean, I'm not Hindu, so I don't like.
Right, you don't practice.
Yeah, I don't like expect I'm going to be reincarnated, but.
Sure.
How do we know? Okay. Like, there's so many different, like, you know.
I believe it could happen. Catherine Hepburn was a tree.
Yeah, in a was it an Oprah interview where she said that it was.
Barbara Walters.
She believed that at one point in her life she was a tree.
Something like that.
I mean, Catherine Hepburn, one time I was a tree. Like, okay, Catherine. You don't want to argue with a woman with a voice like that.
You don't.
No, you really don't.
Her face already looked like petrified wood.
Exactly.
Oh, thank you. Because I was going to make a Parkinson's joke. That was better.
She rescued you.
Yeah, yeah. Not a tree now, are you?
It was a real shaky premise.
Oh, hey.
Side note, very sad but funny story. My friend's gynecologist had to retire because he got Parkinson's, which is not
that's
funny.
That's hilarious.
But it is funny because all I could imagine was just like the what I just his arms
I
shaking.
I could see what like
slips
I probably
and
come.
It snaps shut
can you
again.
But what if like
yeah, I mean, he
the
might,
vibration feels
he might
so
have
good.
Discovered another
I squirt in his eyes.
Oh my god.
Anyway, that's my clean set. I'm Carrie Martin, everybody. Have a good night.
Yeah, she technically didn't swear, so you're right. You could do Conan now. Definitely.
Squirting in the face.
No.
Want somebody dead, then you squirt in the face.
Oh, God. Okay. Anyway, so Carrie's, we're going to get a maybe out of Carrie for reincarnation. Adam is a meh.
Meh. Who knows? I mean, I wouldn't say never. Like, I like to imagine that somewhere.
Well, some of these stories are compelling.
Somewhere George Harrison is living a relaxing life as
me
some
too.
Family's
golden retriever,
overloved house cat or
is
dog.
Is Paul McCartney the only one alive still?
Ringo's still alive.
Oh.
Carrie in her mind just went, that doesn't count. I know, Carrie.
Disappointed.
She's like, oh, it's just Ringo. Okay.
Ugh.
Okay, so just, I thought it'd be good to just touch on what the technical definition of reincarnation is, because I'd never actually given any thought to this. I've always like yada yada'd my way through reincarnation, like,
yeah,
all right, you're born and then you die and then you're born again into some other body,
yeah,
right?
But you somehow know that you were something else.
You have
before.
A you got a hunch you yeah. got a hunch.
So I don't think, and I know they explain more about reincarnation, but it doesn't happen to everybody.
No. Okay. Yeah, exactly. It's not necessarily. Okay. So for reincarnation to have actually taken place, the consciousness of a foreign personality must have entered the body of the experiencing subject, which was an interesting term I had never heard before. In esoteric literature, this is known as transmigration of the spirit or soul. It's said to occur in the womb, perhaps already at conception or shortly afterward, when the rhythmic pulses begin that develop into the heart and embryo. So it's a very specific moment,
right,
in life development that reincarnation could occur potentially.
Right.
And I like the idea of calling it the experiencing subject, which I'm definitely going to be calling lots of things the experiencing subject for the rest of my life. So the spirit or the soul of an individual does not necessarily migrate to another individual. Buddhist teachings, for example, tell us that the soul or spirit does not always reincarnate on an earthly plane in a human form. It may not reincarnate at all, evolving into a spiritual domain from where either it does not return or returns only to fulfill a task that it was to accomplish in its preceding incarnation. So I thought that was interesting, the idea that the reason why I find that fascinating is it kind of links into other ghost stories, too.
Yeah.
Right, so the idea that there's some unfinished thing that that happened in a person's life that brings it back.
Yeah, that's what you always hear about ghost stories, is that.
But I hadn't heard that
the soul wasn't settled.
But I hadn't heard that about reincarnation.
Yeah,
like, for me, a ghost is stuck in a loop and in time. There's a part of them that was somehow traumatized or whatever, so they had, you know, their baby got thrown out a window.
The reincarnation's like the lottery, like.
I guess so. I mean, I think you're just like at the crosswinds.
Yeah.
Of existence at some point.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah. So we decided to dig out a handful of bizarre reincarnation stories from all over the internet. And there are a lot, and some of them do not make any sense at all. Some of them are like, he bought a watch. Clearly he is reincarnated. It's like, I think he just wanted a watch.
Yeah, he just maybe wanted to know what time it was.
Some of them were good. So I'm not going to say this name right.
Swarnlata Mishra.
Pretty scary boat.
Oh my God. All right, thanks guys. Swarnlata Mishra, born in a small village in Madhya Pradesh in 1948. She was 3 years old when she began to have spontaneous past life memories of being a girl called Baya, I'm not going to say that last name.
Hathik.
Thank you. Who lived in a village more than 100 miles away. She described the house that Baya lived in that had four rooms and was painted white. She began to sing, this part creeped me out. She began to sing songs that she claimed to used to know, together with complex dance routines.
The Elisa Lamb
put it in the chest.
That were close unknown to present family and friends.
Clues in the chest.
Maybe this is what's, you might have been a transmigrated soul, Carrie.
You could be.
You are an experiencing, she's an experiencing subject is what this is. Yeah. That's what's happening. So this stimulated her father to recognize, to start writing down, I guess at some point, if your daughter starts claiming to be remembering things,
you take a few notes.
Like, you're like, okay. But then she's like doing some very like complex dance moves. She must have just been a bad dancer for them to notice that she was doing good dancing.
Yeah.
Like she's the one that you emulate on Dance Dance Revolution.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. That works. That's good. Carrie's got some shoulder movements going. Again, this is good podcasting. Your dancing is translating well.
It is.
So in her case, generated interest outside the village. One investigator who visited the city discovered that a woman who matched the description given by Swarnlata had died 9 years previously. So, you know, in these reincarnation stories, you find these very broad sentences, like in the Bible, which is like, and then he parted the Red Seas or whatever. And you're like, okay, so apparently there was one lady who had died 9 years before that matched the dance moves of this girl, I guess.
She died doing a dance.
Yeah. Investigations.
Swept the nation.
This was the underpinnings of the Macarena. It's true. Investigations later confirmed that the young girl called Bia had lived in just such a house in that town.
Whoa!
Swarnlata's father decided to take his daughter into town to have her introduced to members of Bia's family. This is really creepy.
Yeah.
As a test to see if she was indeed the reincarnated personality, the family introduced her to people that were not related to the child. She immediately identified these individuals as imposters. Indeed, some details of her past life memories were so precise that they were all amazed. So
that is crazy. Like it's.
Yeah, it is.
Like it's one of those things that I feel like 9 out of 10 people would be like, nah, reincarnation never is not real. And then a story like that, you can't explain it.
How can
you say it's not
Well, that's real? That's kind of why I picked some of the stories that we did.
Yeah.
You could say what you want, but clearly there are multiple witnesses in this story. And the fact that she was able to say, like, no, that's not my family, I don't know how to explain that.
Which,
like,
that's a thing that kind of runs through all of these. At some point, it seems like all of them are given a test that they all pass.
Well, what else would you do?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you'd have to think of something. Like, if somebody was like, you know, I'm your mom or whatever, I'd be like, okay, well, I don't know. I'd have to sit there and think about what's something only my mom would know.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to reverse engineer it and make it more complicated.
Did you tell your story about the nurse? It wasn't on this one.
No, it was on White Wine True Crime.
You want to tell it real quick?
I mean, we can. It's not a reincarnation story, but...
No, but it's interesting.
Okay, yeah.
I'm ready.
Are you ready, Adam?
Okay, so you know...
Are you ready, listeners?
Do you know that I've died twice?
It was only twice. I thought it was more than twice.
I've had 5 open heart surgeries, but I've died twice.
Oh, okay.
It's so funny that I'm telling this story for the second time in... Anyway, so...
Hilarious.
The story is my parents were talking about their first memory. And the first memory I said that I had was flying in a helicopter to the hospital. And that happened when I was a week old.
Yeah.
And I had a full outer body. Like, I could describe the whole helicopter. I mean, how else do you...
Yeah.
I don't know. I could describe it. But I had watched a lot of movies, so my parents were like, no, like, you were a week old. You don't remember that. And, you know, the way you're describing it, you're not having a memory. That's just you dealing with something. Basically, right, is what they told me. And I used to say, like, no, I remember it. In fact, if I saw anybody in that helicopter ever again, I would be able to... point them out. I would know who they are.
Right.
So years later, I was like 11 years old, 12 years old. I'm at a block party and I was sitting in front of potato salad, like scooping potato salad into a plate. And I look up and there is the nurse that was in the helicopter.
Wow.
And I said, are you a nurse? And, which must have been really creepy for her.
Yeah.
Because this 12-year-old, like 11-year-old girl is like just directly looking at her asking what her profession is.
And kids are the worst in horror movies.
I was definitely that kid for this woman. And she's like, yeah. I said, okay. Did you work with Children's Hospital Los Angeles in 1985? Were you in an airlift unit? And she's like, yeah, a couple times I did that. And I was like, can you just wait right here? And I brought my mom over and she recognized her immediately.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean,
not reincarnation, but freaky.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you hear when people talk about having died. There's always the out-of-body experience where they're like, I saw myself trapped underwater.
I mean, I saw myself as a baby. I mean, like, I can still see what I saw. Absolutely. There's no question.
That is, that's intense.
Yeah, it's a really weird story.
I think that she's dead.
Yeah, I'm sixth-sensing you.
Yeah.
Well, then we're all dead, aren't we?
No, just her.
It's crazy how much this podcast has taken off with us being dead. People are going to be disappointed when they come to see us and
if somebody confirmed to Carrie
dead
that after all this, Carrie was already dead, she'd be so pissed.
Oh, yeah.
She'd be like, what? I've been dead this whole time? This is bullshit.
Like, why didn't I lose weight faster then? It should be easy, right? I'm dead.
So
stupid.
So, okay, so we got another one.
Reincarnation. Do you want me to take this one?
Yeah,
this one's interesting.
Yeah, this one's interesting.
This one is the one I said earlier and you guys ignored me.
What? How did we ignore you?
You're going to see the quote.
Oh, okay. I get it. Okay, yeah. I see it now. Wasn't that was that last episode that you brought up?
No, it was before we recorded when you're sick. I think you're on the couch Googling Katherine Hepburn tree.
If we happen to not respond to Carrie right away, we get an immediate response. Like, well, not an immediate, but like an hour later, she'll be like, you guys post things and you always talk about it. Then I post things and no one ever says anything. Marsha.
So I'm very Jan Brady.
That did happen this weekend.
I know. This weekend. It was so funny. I'm like, oh, Carrie, okay. What?
In this scenario, you'd be Cindy and you'd be Marsha.
I'm definitely Cindy.
Yeah.
I'm Sam the Butcher.
You are Sam.
Speaking of that, let's talk about Sam Taylor.
There's a BuzzFeed quiz no one's ever going
to
take.
Segway. Let's add Segway to sponsor us because that was a great segue.
Thank you. Thank you. We're really angling for that Segway. Have I ever told you Annie Letterman was at the Comedy Store once and Paul Allen, the owner of Microsoft, or one of the co-founders of Microsoft, showed up with his wife and was just in the audience. And she said after the show, all the comics were like, well, we have to see what kind of car Paul Allen is fucking driving.
I'm sure it's a Prius.
So when he leaves, they like kind of secretly follow him out and him and his wife get on fucking Segways. And just roll that off into hilarious. The LA streets.
I'm Paul Allen. I got nothing to lose.
That's not a bad idea because people drive horribly around here.
I feel like you've got
Ubers
a much
expensive,
better chance.
Walking is annoying.
No, to me, Segways look like the beginning of a stupid death. I just like
the idea of him owning like a highway ready Segway that goes like 70. That'd be
awesome.
Can
you see it hitting like a pothole in the middle of the sidewalk? We have horrible and falling roads. It over into a bush.
Exactly. You know, in Long Beach, they do Segway tours, which is the dumbest. When you see a crop of people on fucking Segways,
you do point and laugh. It is hilarious.
And they're all like from Ohio in shorts with fanny packs. I mean, it is just like, it looks like, you know how when you see like birds running across like a meadow, like in unison?
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. Just like gophers. Like just
birds?
Yeah, like those little birds that like run around in the wetlands in like little groups.
In Arizona, the birds. They have roadrunners. Maybe a roadrunner?
Yeah, they look
or
like.
Or a Mothman?
Sure.
A Mothman. Well, no, because Mothman, really clumsy runner.
Yeah, Segways are at least a little bit elegant.
You get a pack of Mothmen trying to run. That's fucking chaos.
They're just bouncing off each other.
Tripping
like
over each other.
Yeah.
Bruising their unremarkable heads.
A pack of Mothmen.
Oh.
Like a Mothman gang.
I've been on a kick where I've watched the Mothman Prophecy maybe three times.
I still haven't watched it
since we did that episode.
I need to do it. I need to watch it.
We should do a commentary track.
We should. Yeah, let's riff track the Mothman Prophecy.
It would be a really good riff track movie because there's a lot of like nothing happening.
We should do it. Jeff May really wants to do a Riff Tracks.
I want to do the sometime. Easter one.
The Easter one. What's that?
I want to do a riff track of Passion of the Christ.
Oh, that would be great. That would be pretty great.
Kind of scared, but I bet it'd be really funny.
Yeah, I missed that one out.
I used to go to a Christian music festival all the time in Sioux Falls because it was the biggest Christian music festival in the United States, which meant it was super fun to just show up and get really drunk and kind of harass abortion protesters.
I have been to a couple of those.
Like, I had an 11-year-old kid. He was handing out John Thune buttons, and I was like, do you have any Tom Daschle buttons? And he was like, Tom Daschle's a baby killer.
Yep, that was me.
But there was...
That was me.
At the last one I went to, there was a guy in full army fatigues.
Terrifying.
With, I shit you not, 40 to 50 Passion of the Christ buttons just all over him.
Totally stable.
What's the minimum number of flair you should wear for a Christian rock concert?
Yeah, it's...
Good times.
Christian music festivals are so weird.
Yeah,
Why did I go? I went to one in Monterey years ago, and it was like called like Reality or something annoying like that. It just was... I went to like Bonnaroo years later. I'm like, oh, this is a music festival.
See, here's the
I
problem.
Understand now.
The music sucks.
Christian music is terrible.
It's very bad.
I don't mind it.
Yeah, it's... I don't know how much of it you've heard then, because it's pretty... It's like, how do they get it so wrong? Do you know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
My husband and I talk about this a lot.
Because God does some cool shit.
Well, considering as far as Christian art's concerned, we started with Da Vinci. I don't understand, and like Michelangelo, how we ended up with "Shout to the Lord, all the
that's
earth."
That's the song I was thinking.
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh,
that's
you two only, are so funny.
It's the only Christian rock song.
Yeah, pow. I know it by heart because I used to sing it all the time. But like, how do they get it so? To me, it's proof that there's something off. Because it's so bad. It's so out of touch with, like, a human feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not normal.
No.
It's just weird. Oh, my God. I'm having so many flashbacks.
Yeah.
It was a horrible time in my life. Actually, I mean, it was actually kind of fun. But now, I mean, I'm glad I'm not that anymore.
Yeah.
I was just being brainwashed. It's like, I think about it sometimes. I get really angry. The things that I did were so embarrassing, and I had no idea how stupid I looked.
Yeah, you see some weird shit.
I clowned for Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
for Christ.
That's bad. Clowned.
Yeah.
Full clown regalia. Couldn't get the makeup off.
Clown regalia.
Couldn't get the makeup off for days.
If you've never heard the story, it is
it's
charming.
Good, yeah, well,
and
we'll
delightful.
Tell the story on another podcast. But anyway.
Sam Taylor. Let's talk about Sam. This is another case of substantial proof of reincarnation.
Yeah, this one.
This involved an 18-month-old boy named Sam Taylor. As his diaper was being changed one day, he looked up at his father and said, "When I was your age, I used to change your diapers." At which point, you toss that kid right out.
Yeah, that's when you like do toss the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
You get in the car and go right to a fire station.
No, yeah.
Later, Sam disclosed details about his grandfather's life that were completely accurate.
Sure.
He said that his grandfather's sister had been murdered and that his grandmother had made milkshakes for his grandfather using a food processor. Now, does that mean she did that to celebrate when the sister was murdered? Why did he put those in the same?
It was just memories. I think two separate memories.
Okay. Sam's parents were adamant that none of these subjects had been discussed in his presence. When he was 4 years old, Sam was shown a group of old family pictures spread out on a table. Sam happily identified his grandfather every time with the announcement, "That's me." In an attempt to test him, his mother selected an old school class photograph showing the grandfather as a young boy. There were 16 other boys in the photograph. Sam immediately pointed to one of them, once again announcing that was him. He was right.
What if it was like creepy. One of those like Ann Geddes pictures where the picture of the grandfather was like in color and everything else around it was in black and white?
His grandpa was like in a pea pod.
Yeah.
Yeah, reincarnation stories are going to get cheesier and cheesier now because of the way people photograph their newborn children.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. That's me. And it's like wrapped in like yarn or whatever my friends have been doing.
But that's still better than the olden days when people would take
pictures
with dead bodies.
The death pictures are a little much.
Yeah. That's the thumbnail for this podcast is technically.
I know. And I don't know why you've done that.
It's my favorite one. Those little cute cats playing jump rope with the creepy doll.
Ugh, so scary.
The doll jumps.
The doll jumps.
No, I like it.
Okay.
Cameron McCauley, the Scottish boy who was reincarnated.
Go Cameron.
That one. Yeah. Cameron's mother said his son had told her on more than one occasion events that occurred on the island of Barra, which, by the way, where is that?
It's an island.
Okay,
the,
yeah,
the Barra region of the
Scotland
ocean.
I feel like you guys know so much more than me. That's why you're better friends.
We are the probably best friends, I think.
The mother testified that the boy had never been in
Marcia,
this island.
Marcia.
He talked about his family, his father, who had died for not looking both ways, his brothers, who says were playing in the beach, etc. The boy said he had a previous life and is concerned given that his family does not believe him. His mother says that he complains that at home there is only one bathroom. Well, when I lived on the Isle of Barra, we had three bathrooms.
Why don't you go the fuck back to the Isle of Barra, you ungrateful little shit?
This is a very
kind of high-strung
experience
many
subject.
Times, the small Cameron cries because he says that his mother must be missing him. He wants his family in Barra to know that he is okay and to take him back because he hates where he lives now. As the child grew, the information he told about his old life was more precise. He said he had a black and white dog and a black car, although that's pretty basic. He said his mother had long hair, basic, and that his current mother and her would get along. He ensures seeing planes landing from the window of his house, and even on one occasion, he told his mother if they ever went to Barra, he would show her a hideout from where he and his brothers escaped to the beach. Another surprising fact for the accuracy of the info given by the boy is the name of his father, Shane Robertson. The boy's mother, worried about her son, contacted the psychologist Jim Tucker, specialist in cases of reincarnation. They traveled to Barra in 2005. Upon arrival, they contacted the islanders, asking if they knew a white house on the bay matching the description that Cameron gave. They also asked about Robertson, but nobody knew him. But on the next day, they received a call from the hotel where they were staying, telling them about the existence of this house and family, which that seems creepy.
Yeah.
But only the adults heard the news, so they decided to drive around the area of the house to see if Cameron could recognize it. And so the boy pointed where the place was, but in the house there was no signs of any Robertson. Still, they were allowed to go inside.
Why?
Yeah, weird.
Makes no sense. The boy knew every corner of the house and even remembered the cracks. He was sad because his home was not as he remembered. What a little bitch.
Yeah.
He is. I don't like this kid.
No, he's
needy
an awful
little, fucker.
Little kid. After a few days, they made contact with the lady named Robertson who claimed that she had family that had lived on the island. She showed them some pictures and in them, two things.
What?
The black and white dog and the black car. Everything Cameron had told was true, but only missed one fact. Mrs. Robertson did not remember anyone in her family who was called Shane, which I think is a pretty big fact. Also, nobody who had been ran over and killed. Another big fact.
Yeah.
Norma, the current mother of Cameron, said that it was a good decision to take her son to visit his old house. Also, that Cameron never speaks of death. Only once he has told a friend not to worry about dying, that if he died, he would return.
Mm.
That kid is a twat.
Yeah, Cameron seems like a real piece of trash.
Real piece of work.
I don't like that kid. That story bothered me. He was like psychologically abusing his mom.
Like, yeah, I was going to say, but it seems like the mom was like an enabler.
I don't know what you do. I mean, like, can you imagine, like, a kid looking at his mom saying, like, well, you'd like my real mom. Jeez.
Yeah.
That is garbage. Creepo. I don't like it.
I don't like that kid.
I don't either.
That's why I plan on having none.
All right.
If I did have one, I already told you, it'd be a girl, and I would keep it in a cage under my bed.
Fair enough. Just like that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would have an issue with that.
Or it's your large child. Tupperware. It's your property until she's 18.
Yeah, yeah. You just let her out. As long as you let her out when she's 18. Carrie?
I will put at 18, poke holes
at
in the
18,
box.
At 18, you have to let her out.
You have to let her out at 18, Carrie.
I mean, what are the rules?
That's the rule.
That's literally... That's the rule.
That's the only rule.
I feel like you're making up these rules.
Animals have more protection
Again, just
than
one
children.
Rule.
It's just...
When she's 16 and old enough to drive so she can drive me to bars.
Then you get her a cage... That drives.
Yeah. Like
a Segway.
Like, yeah.
And I just sit at a skateboard with a rope tied to the Segway.
Right.
You can get her a little Pope Mobile.
Yeah.
You know, just stick her in like a plexiglass box so she can kind of see the outside world.
I don't want her to know too much.
She won't.
Yeah.
If you're just going from home to the bar, she won't know much.
And if she acts up, put some clothes in the chest.
Clothes in the chest. Clothes in the chest.
You want somebody dead? Put some clothes in the chest.
Yep.
It's a good song, Caitlin.
I can't argue.
It's number one on iTunes, I believe.
I think so.
Yeah, it is.
On the clothes in the chest charts.
It's a specific, it's a boutique
alone
chart.
Alone at number one.
It's
it's also number 100.
Yeah, it's number one through 100, yes. Actually. Because we have 99 remixes. They're all great. All great.
By super producer?
Adam Todd Brown.
R. Kelly? Oh, yeah. Adam Todd Brown. Yeah.
I feel like you would have like a cool producer name. Like, nope. Easy Brown.
What about ATB?
I thought you said a Brown. Cool producer name.
What about ATB?
There is a DJ named ATB.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah.
What if you did ATB exclamation mark?
That would differentiate us.
You'd be just like
ATB!
You'd be just like Prince if you did that.
I'll just put two E's at the end.
ATB. ATB. ATB.
Biebs.
All right.
Biebs.
The story.
That one's taken too.
The story of twin sisters.
The twin sisters.
This is a very interesting story of reincarnation. It occurred in 1957 in England. Joanna and Jacqueline Pollock, sisters, they suffered a car accident. They were both run over on the sidewalk and died.
Youch.
Mrs. Pollock, their mom, became pregnant 1 year after the date of the accident, and her husband had told her that he had a hunch that this birth would bring twin girls who were daughters, the same who had died the year before. Now, I want to pause here for a second.
Let's pause.
You lose two daughters. You get pregnant.
Happens.
You get pregnant again. You think things are normal again between you and your husband, and then he whips out, I'm really glad you're pregnant because I'm kind of hoping our daughters come back in the form of twins of our daughters. Like, I would not, that would not make me feel good about our future. Yeah. Like, I really would not like that. Now, having him said that,
if
I feel
he
like
to sing to the pregnant belly, what do you think he would sing?
Clothes in the chest. Clothes in the chest.
You want somebody dead?
Put some clothes in the chest.
I was going to say It Takes Two, but...
By Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Probably both.
I like the Waffle, fuck the Big Mac.
Oh, my God. Okay, so my point here is that this woman's been through all of this trauma, and then her husband plants this weird seed in her brain, and then sure enough, she ends up pregnant with twins, okay? So the girl's father noticed that one of the babies had, above her right eyebrow, a scar identical to that of the daughter Jacqueline, who had fallen when she was three, and the other girl in turn had a mole the size of a thumb.
Ew.
In the same place that their second deceased daughter had had a mole.
And he wanted this freak show to come back?
Yeah.
With her big thumb size mole?
So the gynecologist said she only saw one baby.
No, and then but she had twins.
No, I know, but I'm saying the gynecologist saw one.
Initially, there was only one, but then suddenly there were twins.
At birth, there were twins.
The gynecologist called one.
Yeah.
Bad gynecologist, I think. You miss a whole baby.
No, I think it's a weird husband.
Okay, fine. That's okay. So 4 months later.
Ghost baby.
So 4 months later, the family moved to another village, but after 2.5 years, they went back to visit the same place where they were born, the two girls. And their parents found that the two girls knew the place very well. Even without seeing the school, they could point a finger to where it was. And the same thing happened when they pointed to the place where the swing and slides were. When the girls went through their old house, they recognized every place immediately. When the girls turned 4, their father opened the box in which he kept kept his dead daughter's old photos. The strange thing for the parents was when each girl acknowledged which toy belonged to each. And even called the dolls by the names the deceased sisters used. But also, the girls showed fear of passing cars and personally had the same behavior as their previously dead daughters. I don't think...
Spooky.
No. I think nope. The parents are crazy.
Yeah.
I think he was randomly right about twins, and after that...
Yeah.
They just projected all of this on these two poor girls.
But yeah. Do we really know these stories are true?
Yeah. They're claimed to be true. These are stories that were around. But I think given what we were told in that little summary and what I could find on that one seemed like parents not being able to deal with reality.
That's the least convincing.
The other two
story
were pretty
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the other two, there's not an adult stepping in going, hey, reincarnation's about to happen.
Yeah, this one only has the parents telling the
story.
But
sometimes when you will stuff, it happens.
That's the secret.
The secret.
Not to let it out, but that is the secret.
We finally...
Between us,
sorry,
between
universe.
All of us.
Telling the secret. There's also confirmation bias. I think that's what that is. But this next section, I found this like very kind of silly... listicle almost of other stories.
Nine reincarnation stories that will give you goosebumps.
The thing that I liked about it is just the names of each of the stories. The second one here, boy is his own grandpa.
That was the one about the changing of the diapers.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the same story, but it's repackaged in boy is his own grandpa. And I just, I feel like there was a missed opportunity in the first round when I discovered that story.
Yeah, I don't know if that even is the same story.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I guess so.
It is. It's the same one. No one in the family had ever spoken. Yeah, it's definitely the same one.
How many times is a boy his own grandpa?
That's a good question. There is that song from The Stupids, I'm My Own Grandpa.
Boy, it's his grandpa.
Yeah.
Boy, it's his grandpa. You want somebody dead,
make a boy
and his grandpa.
Actually, that is that story. I will say that. I'll give you that one. This one's kind of weird. So this is a young kid thinking, just imagine, he believed that he lived a past life as a fighter pilot. So
this one was interesting.
So 8-year-old James Liniger of Louisiana began talking about aviation at 2 years old.
Nope. Get him out of here.
His parents reportedly knew nothing about the subject and were amazed when their little boy started displaying such an extensive knowledge of airplanes. That would be
weird.
Yeah.
If your 2 year old knows a shit ton about planes.
I don't know. It could just be a baby genius. I think there was a movie about that, right? Baby genius?
There's also Boss Baby is coming out too.
Yes. Closers get cookies.
Literally.
Is that the tagline?
Yeah.
Oh, because Alec Baldwin is Boss Baby.
The movie nobody asked for.
Yeah, yeah.
I might rent.
I can't go with you on that journey.
Are you going to rent it like at Redbox or something?
No, I will rent it for $6 in HD once it comes to my TV.
Oh, yeah, I do that. I rent movies on Amazon. Mm-hmm.
All right. Their amazement turned to alarm when James... So they weren't alarmed yet. Now they're alert. When James started having nightmares about being shot down by a plane with a red sun on it, presumably a Japanese plane. He talked about having dreams and memories of being a Lieutenant James McCready Hudson, a World War II fighter pilot from Pennsylvania who had been killed in Iwo Jima more than 50 years earlier. Andrea, his mother, said that James would scream at the top of his voice, "Airplane crash, on fire, can't get out, help!" And he kicked and pointed to the ceiling.
Creepy.
Later, James told his parents that he had flown a plane called Corsair from a boat called the Natoma. When James's father decided to do some research, he discovered that there had been a small escort carrier called the Natoba Bay, which had been in the Battle of Iwo Jima, and that there really had been a pilot named James Hudson. You got to be sweating at that point. I mean, creepy. His plane was hit in the engine by Japanese fire on March 3rd, 1945. According to Jim Tucker, a psychologist at the University of Virginia, Hudson's plane crashed exactly the way young James had described.
That's weird.
That's a good one.
That's a really good one. Yeah.
I mean, knowledge of aviation at two already, and I'm assuming this is pre-Google, so.
Yeah.
Well, if you're articulating things about it, I can't even do that. I have no idea how planes fly.
Yeah.
I flew in a plane. I didn't know what was going on.
Oh, yeah. No idea.
I don't know how the internet works. I don't know anything.
This was back when research meant you had to go to the library and get shit on microfiche.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I don't know. This one.
That's a lot of work.
Freaked me out.
It is a lot of work.
Let's kind of keep scrolling. There was another one that I wanted to go over.
This one. Oh, this one's really short, though.
Well, we've only got like 10 minutes, so.
Yeah.
Pick whichever one you want, Adam. You get to pick the next one.
Well, let's talk about this World War II veteran.
One.
Oh, World War One. No, that's World, the stupid
World
one.
World War One, shot in the throat.
That is the stupidest throat. War.
Yeah.
The War of West Virginia.
I like that whoever put this listicle together like took the time to at least kind of bring the juicy part out.
Yeah.
Like, this kid's his own grandpa. Like, mm-hmm. This guy got shot in the throat. It's like, whoa.
The headlines catch your eye.
Where is this going? If it bleeds, it leads.
So after developing a phobia of gray, rainy days, well, it sounds like this kid just has seasonal affective disorder, probably. After developing a phobia of gray, rainy days, 4-year-old Edward Austrian started complaining about a severe pain in his throat. Whenever it hurt, he reportedly said that his shot was hurting. When questioned, he told his mother that he had been in the trenches in what she assumed to be World War I. He told detailed stories about his life and about being shot in the throat and killed. Doctors couldn't find a reason for Edward's throat pain, so they took his tonsils out as a precaution. Eventually, though, he developed a cyst that no one could figure out how to treat. After he was encouraged to share more stories about his past life, the cyst disappeared. Doctors never determined the reason why. I have a cyst on my foot right now.
Oh, really? I'm sorry.
Let me tell you some past life stories.
Yeah?
See if this thing goes away.
Well, I feel like that's gross, Adam.
Well, it was from wearing the wrong shoes to an event I had to stand at for a long time. It's called an inclusion cyst, and it's when part of your shoes push on part of your foot for too long.
So do you have to get it amputated?
The foot, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just from the like thigh down.
Stump slash E is going to be your...
Stump E.
I like that.
Music's hottest producer right now.
I think this is another...
Stu's in the back room.
Yep.
And then it gets shortened to Stu.
I like that.
Yeah. What if this guy, though, was just like a smoker in World War One, and so he had one of those... things where you talk out of your throat.
Yeah, I was in World War I. Yes.
I would say he did heroin and he did it out of a vein in his neck, but I think that's more World War II. Or, no, Korean War.
Yeah. Heroin is Korean War.
Was it Korean
Vietnam War?
Vietnam,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, heroin happened later. Opium, on the other hand, that could be a World War I situation.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I got shot in the throat. I don't smoke. My shot hurts. It's not cancer.
Oh my God.
Don't look down on me.
People say that I look fine and everyone tries to make me feel better, but I know the truth. This is my past life's fault.
I bet you didn't know this technology existed in World War I.
Maybe they were club kids.
That was easily the most effective anti-smoking ad there ever was.
Oh, yeah. When the woman takes a hit of her cigarette from the hole in her neck.
Was it Debbie? Was that her name?
Every woman who smokes and gets cancer is named Debbie. That's a rule.
And they were a truck stop waitress.
Yeah.
I mean, that...
It's the best.
It's amazing.
That part when she...
Yeah. She still
is that real though? They just had a guy on, and I feel like it looked
no, it was
fake.
Real. It's real, and the thing that was really crazy about it is that she still needed a cigarette.
Yeah,
like you got a whole.
You're an addict.
Throat.
You're an addict.
I know. Anyway, I think that one is also a case of a mom fixating on her kid, thinking he's really special, and really he wasn't. I don't think it's as good as the other kid who knew about airplane.
So should we read a few more? Should we get out of here? I know you gotta.
We got. Let's do one more.
Which one do you want to do?
Let's.
How many are there?
Oh, I made it. I think we're almost towards the bottom.
Yeah. 3-year-old leads police to man who killed.
I like this one.
That's a good one.
This was a good one.
Do we want to go through this one? Who wants
let's
to take it?
I can.
Yes.
Yay.
3-year-old boy in the Golan Heights caused quite a stir when he claimed he was murdered in a past life. The boy, a member of the Druze West Virginia ethnic group, which
we're the Druze
reincarnation and pizza rolls, had a long red birthmark on his head. According to some Druze beliefs, birthmarks indicate where death wounds occurred during a past life. When the boy learned how to talk, he started telling elders that he had been killed by an axe blow in a prior life. I felt like that was a way to kill each other back in the day.
Very
Lizzie
axes?
Borden.
Yeah, hell
oh, yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
The boy was led through several villages to see if any of them were familiar to him. Once he found a familiar village, he claimed that he knew exactly who had killed him. Suddenly, the boy walked up to a man and said, "Aren't you Eli Losh?" Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
The man answered yes. Then the boy said, "I used to be your neighbor. We had a fight and you killed me with an axe." Eli told me how the man had suddenly gone white as a sheet. The 3-year-old boy then said, "I even know where he buried my body." Afterward, the boy led his elders to a pile of stones, under which they found a body with an axe wound in its head. He also led them to the spot where the axe was buried, reportedly forcing his killer to confess the crime.
That is solid.
Yeah, that's a cool story.
That's a good one.
That kind of reminds me... Wait, no. Oh, I was going to say that little baby... Like the kid serial killer who would take bricks and kill babies.
Yeah.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That kid was just scary.
The kid who killed Kush Boo. Rest in peace, Kush Boo. Poor little Kush Boo.
I hate that.
All right, let's Kush Boo it out of here.
Yeah. The last one is one we already covered. Cameron McCauley.
I just think that, like, I thought this was a good like swath of stories because some of them, I think if you want to believe in reincarnation, there's actually some stuff out there that you can't, like that last one is a really good example. Like, okay. Like if you straight up, if a kid just leads people to a body, where else?
Or that kid killed somebody and is the greatest fucking criminal on earth.
Mm-hmm. That's a smart kid.
Yeah.
It's just a weird.
How funny would it have been if that story ended with him going, "Hey, remember when I was your neighbor?" And the guy just kills him again. You're fucking back. Oh,
shitty. This has happened to him like 50 times.
I know exactly where to bury you.
This would be funny too. What was that Bill Cosby special? Kids Say the Darndest Things.
Yeah, but
that was a TV show, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was a whole TV show.
And they had these kids on. I mean, these are darned things.
They are saying the darndest things.
I know, you killed me in a past life. Like, oh, Billy.
The host of this show raped my mom.
And my sister. And 71 other people.
Oh, my God.
Ah, kids.
Too soon.
Oh, kids.
You know, when Bill Cosby dies, it's going to be a weird day.
I know.
I think about that sometimes because he's a beast of a human being, and you know, we never knew.
Have you seen the barbecue sauce scene from The Cosby Show?
Yeah.
I had never heard of it, and Chet Wilde pointed, I think it's actually on the podcast that went up this morning. It's a scene where Bill Cosby is talking about how his magic barbecue sauce makes everyone want to have sex. And at one point, Bud goes to give some to Rudy, and he goes over and stops him.
Like, yeah.
That's the creepiest fucking thing.
Oh, my God. Like,
I wonder how you came up with that storyline.
But the writers did, so maybe they planted a seed in Bill Cosby's head, and that triggered something.
What if he was actually using barbecue sauce for all of those?
Yeah.
He probably did it a couple times. I mean, who knows? I just think, I wish, to me, I feel like the best punishment for people that are this famous, that do this, we just stop talking about them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we prosecute and all these other things, but we also just, like, when he dies, I don't want to hear shit.
Yeah.
I want it to be one of those things where when I'm, like, 54, like, I'm like, wait, did he die?
Michael Jackson, though, where it's like people are like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sad. He wrote all this great music, very talented.
Yeah.
But he might have molested children. Something along those lines. I think when anybody passes, you tend to forgive them.
I find
and
the
remember
story,
the good stuff.
I hear you. Yeah. I find the story of Michael Jackson so bizarre. I feel like anybody else on the planet accused of that kind of thing would never have survived those kinds of allegations. Mm-hmm. And I can't help but wonder if that stuff laid the groundwork for what ultimately happened to Bill Cosby. Because somebody had to betray that whole community somehow in a really deep way. You know what I mean? Like, just a very interesting. It's so weird to me because, you know, you hear Michael Jackson songs on the radio still.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, yeah, Thriller. And then other times I'm like, wait a minute.
Although I guess it was alleged with.
Well, they.
No, it's not
Michael
that alleged.
Jackson.
With Michael. But they also, when they went in and cleaned out Neverland Ranch after he died, they found like a bunch of really crazy torture porn and like shit.
Really? Yeah.
Among his possessions. Yeah. Yeah. It's dark.
Also, like, weird guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he was kind of blowing the trumpet in the closet there. I mean, he had a fixation on childhood that was very.
He named
unique.
His fucking house Neverland Ranch.
He named his son Blanket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it? Prince, Paris, and Blanket?
Yeah.
Like a blanket.
And Paris is a looker now.
Huh? She's pretty. I hope she's okay.
She's not.
Yeah. She tried, I think, to commit suicide not too long ago.
She had an overdose, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but the Bill Cosby thing, it's like, I think about, like, this man's going to, because it'll be soon. He's an older man and he's under so much stress. He's just going to die.
You can tell his eyes have glaucoma. How he can see anything out of them.
Did you ever see that Jerry Seinfeld documentary, Comedian?
No.
It's really interesting. Did you ever see it?
Comedian?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
I think it was like 2003. He made this documentary about, it was his getting his material ready for his first stand-up special since Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And it's a cool documentary. It was actually the first time that I ever was like, okay, maybe I'll do stand-up. Like, that looks fun. Anyway.
I actually saw him on that tour.
Did you really?
Yeah, in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
It was interesting because at the end, he goes to see Bill Cosby. And he's sitting there talking to Bill Cosby. And he and Bill Cosby are having this really intense conversation. And then there's also footage of Chris Rock saying, like, have you seen Bill Cosby recently, man? He's the shit. He's awesome. Yeah. He's still got it. He'll be up there for two. It's just very weird.
And what kills me is they both probably knew about the rape stuff by then.
The allegations.
Yeah, because I remember after the allegations came out, because it was from Hannibal Buress. Mm-hmm. He did a bit about it, and someone filmed it and put it on YouTube, and that's how the Cosby rape stuff came out. Did you ever see the roast of Justin Bieber?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love when Hannibal Buress said, I hate your music more than Bill Cosby hates my Cosby jokes.
Yeah, that's a good joke.
That's a good joke.
They say Louis C.K. does something weird. Like, he'll trap women in his...
And masturbate in front of them.
Yeah, and masturbate in front of them.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so, and I think Roseanne Barr is one of the most recent ones who was like, yeah, he does. So, I mean, there's stuff about a lot of people, and it's like, what if it is true? But everyone talks about how great Louis C.K. is.
Yeah.
I just look at someone like Bill Cosby, though, and I think about, like, the systemic, I mean, all the people that helped him cover it up.
Yeah.
That's what really creeps me out. Like,
that's when you get so self-confident and you think you're just such a big star.
For decades. I mean, just, I don't know how we ended up talking about this.
I can't believe his wife is still with him.
She's not. She just left him.
She did?
Yeah.
Good for her.
Wow.
I mean, at a certain point.
Glaucoma in the eyes. You want somebody dead, you put glaucoma in the eyes.
That woman's had a really rough life.
She's very pretty.
Yeah, her son died. Remember when Ellis. Bill Cosby's son died?
Yeah.
Anyway, hopefully that all works out.
Yeah, hopefully Ennis came back as some, like, a superhero who stops rapes.
Loves barbecue sauce.
Ooh. That was good.
My barbecue sauce.
Jeez.
Got the rape drugs in it.
He was doing Bill Cosby.
That was a Bill Cosby.
It was really good.
Thank you.
You really.
He actually died this morning. Rich
Little.
I just think you could go on the road with that alone.
I think so.
You don't need to do this podcast, Adam. Yeah. You could just do the Bill Cosby impression.
You know what?
Did.
I think you're right.
Yeah, just shut it all down.
You've got this stuff.
I'm actually Bill Cosby reincarnated. Here, you can look this up. I had a special in the 80s where I sat the whole time and wore a suit. Google it if you don't believe me.
Wow, Adam is an experiencing subject.
Yeah, yeah.
That was amazing.
I used to be the spokesman for Jell-O Pudding Pops.
Crazy.
How would I know that if I wasn't...
I don't know.
There's no way you could have known that.
There's no way.
I mean, it's like he's here.
Uncanny.
It is. It is. How would I know the voice?
God, why do I feel so sleepy?
We both feel sleepy. Angie's already passed out.
Barbecue sauce.
The room is spinning. I shouldn't have had those ribs.
I put barbecue sauce in your ice cream.
He warned us about that barbecue sauce, to be fair.
He did. Yeah.
It's called rape sauce.
God, I'm drooling all over myself. I don't know what's happening to me. We better stop this.
Yeah, we should probably get out of here.
I'm slowing down. Jesus sauce. Jesus juice. That's the other sex offender.
I bet there's some Jesus sauce.
Why do sex offenders have all of these, like, food items now?
I don't know. They should start a line, like a catalog.
God, that's a food truck waiting to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. We got Jesus juice, Jesus ribs, Jesus sauce.
No, we've got Jesus fries. We've got Jesus juice, Cosby sauce, OJ steak.
Louis Wieners.
Louis Wieners.
Oh, Louis Wieners. I know Louis Wieners. He used to work for the fucking Totino's company in West Virginia.
Listen, let me tell you something about Louis Wieners. All right. This guy was he was fucked up. Okay. He had four cats. And then I went over to his house. Then he had three cats. And then I went over to his house again. Zero cats.
No cat eating wiener.
New chihuahua. Yeah. New chihuahua. Then the chihuahua went missing. That guy ate pets.
He ate pets.
So I'm saying he was a pet eater. Fuck it. No, I couldn't call him a pedophile. I looked it up. I thought I knew what it meant, but I didn't.
We had to recall a bunch of pizza rolls over that guy.
I actually...
putting the pets in them.
I wrote Merriam-Webster's about this because I felt like pedophile doesn't really sound like a kid problem. You know, no. It sounds like a pet problem. Parakeets, goldfish, pedophile.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just my two cents. What do I know? I'm just a regular Joe Blow from West Virginia.
I used to work for an insurance company, and I accidentally wrote a diagnosis code on a person's claim I transposed two numbers, and instead of like they were in for like throat irritation, and I transposed these numbers, and it came up as zoophilia.
Whoa!
Which means you like to fuck animals.
That is,
and I should have just sent that through. Like it gave me this red flag. Like, are you sure they fuck animals? I'm like, oh yeah, good catch, computer system. They do not fuck animals.
That is a
that you know of.
That I know of.
Remember, allegedly, there was a guy in Washington who got fucked by a horse, and then he died of internal bleeding.
Have you seen that documentary?
No, it's a documentary.
Yeah, guess what it's called? Horse.
I'm not watching that.
I will totally watch it.
It's called Horse, and it's great.
I love it. I'm going to go home and watch it.
Of course it's called Horse.
At every red light on the way home, I'm going to watch it.
Hey, Ed.
Because the guy like was holding it, and he like just let it go, and it just...
I hear they're big.
How am I supposed to feel sorry for this
hung like
person?
A horse. That's why they say that.
It's like people who die jaywalking. I'm like, what do you mean you died jaywalking? What do you mean you died getting fucked by a horse? What do you mean?
Yeah.
That doesn't... Like,
watch the documentary. You'll find out.
We don't need you then, I guess.
Yeah.
That's... I don't know.
Of course, I'm going to write that one down. I don't want to forget it.
Don't forget it. All right.
How would you forget it?
Things come up, Caitlin.
I'll send you a reminder.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's just going to say...
Just put an alarm
horse. I'm just going to send you a horse emoji with the death skull.
Oh, God. What was I forgetting? Thank you, Caitlin.
No problem.
This was fun. We should get out of here.
We should get out of here.
Do we have things to plug?
Yes. I will...
When is this posting?
This will go up a week from Thursday.
Yeah, go, Carrie, go.
Yes. So I will be at Tommy T's in Pleasanton, California on Wednesday. I will be in Reno, Nevada at the Reno, Nevada Comedy Club on Thursday.
Go on.
On Friday, I'll be at the Funhouse Lounge in Portland, Oregon. And then on Saturday, I will be at the Tacoma Comedy Club, and then later that night I will be at the Art Marble at 9 p.m. And then Sunday is Easter. That's it.
So God's you'll be day. With Jesus.
I'm plugging Easter also with my comedy shows.
Nice. I mean,
people are leaving the church in droves. It needed some PR. I'm with you on this.
Yeah.
It's
fine. So, Caitlin, do you have anything to plug?
You should listen to our podcast, White Wine True Crime.
Carrie and I
review true crime movies and television. It's a good time. You can find us on iTunes and a bunch of other places. You go find us on Twitter at WWT Crime. You can find me on Twitter at Bossy Matilda. And then going back to the podcast, we're on Facebook, White Wine True Crime. Or we've got a website, whitewinetruecrime.com, where you can just download our episodes directly, which is totally fine with us. We think you're great.
Me or the fans?
The fans.
The fans. The listeners.
Okay. That's fine. Follow us on Twitter at Unpops, on Instagram at unpops.podcast, on Facebook at Unpops Network. Follow me at Adam Todd Brown on Twitter and Instagram. And give this podcast good ratings and reviews
on
iTunes.
Rate us with 5 stars.
Five stars.
5 stars.
And 5 stars on the West Virginia flag.
Same stars you give the fucking Totinos when you rate them on Yelp.
Rate us like a bag of Totinos.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This was fun.
Yeah, it was.
Let's get the fuck out of here. Carrie, say goodbye.
Pretty scary boo.
Caitlin, say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.